my mind has just been blown.
2SER.com.
Welcome to the Vulture's Nest on 2SER 107.3. I'm your host, Eden Casita, and in the nest with me today, we have Josh Cole.
Hello.
Joshua Cole. And Erin Rooney.
Hello.
Welcome, guys. Hope you're having a fantastic Saturday. The Vulture's Nest, we talk about the news events of the week, current affairs, everything happening. So let's start with probably the biggest controversy of this week, which was a Facebook post made by ABC Casual Report presenter Yasmin Abdel-Majid, which was on Anzac Day and referred to Anzac Day and said, lest we forget, and then she listed a bunch of, like, Manus Island, she said, a few, you could say, quote, atrocities that Australia has been involved in. And what I think what she was trying to do was obviously point out that we are still inflicting violence and pain upon other people, even as we are trying to remember a war that happened quite a long time ago. So what do you guys think about the situation? What is your feelings about the whole controversy?
I would say Anzac Day does indeed refer to wars that have happened relatively recently, such as the two recent Gulf Wars. Those are in the past 20 or so years. But more broadly, so yeah, it is a good point to raise. It is always odd when you're trying to commemorate or mourn the loss of people while still engaging in it. We support, as a country, we support countries like Saudi Arabia, which are still engaged in, crimes against humanity. I mean, that's not disputed. Mm-hmm. So it can be odd that we talk about tragedies as if they've stopped happening.
Yeah, definitely.
And of course, there's also that unfortunate fact that sometimes Australian soldiers have been forced to participate in acts that weren't really that beneficial for anyone.
Definitely.
I have some relatives in the army, and they've questioned the way people only talk about what about the soldiers, usually as a justification for military act, rather mm-hmm. than out of concern for them. Mm-hmm. So I think Yasmin highlighted that pretty yeah. well.
What do you think, Erin?
I think it's a really tough one because for some reason Anzac Day is just so, like, untouchable for Australians. Like, it is such a, like, you know, sacred day almost mm-hmm. that you can't criticize it without being seen as insensitive. I was actually having this discussion with my boss, who's from New Zealand, and they have the same, you know, day there, mm-hmm. but it's not quite the same level of, you know, glorification in a way. Mm-hmm. And she said she finds it just, she can't understand why it is so much so in Australia and not in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. But what I think is that, it's really tough. Like I see the point that she was trying to make. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think that it was the right day to mm-hmm. do it on, mm-hmm. To kind of push that agenda. And I think that she may have been giving people ammo in a sense, mm-hmm. like because she is Muslim, and she's already been under fire for speaking out on some of her views. Mm-hmm. Like people have started attacking her because of that.
I think an interesting part has been the fallout and kind of what people have been saying. And yeah, everyone has been bringing up her religion, things she said in the past, like you said, because this isn't the first time she's started controversy. So Josh, do you think that it was the appropriate time to say it? Like, do you think it should have been any other day?
No, actually, I do think it's the right time simply because you wouldn't complain. You wouldn't complain about Australia Day in middle of the year. I mean, the discussion about the invasion day, mm-hmm. there's not much point bringing it up a couple of months after the mm-hmm. fact. And I think that's the same case here. It's a potent day in people's minds for a reason, so you might as well use it if your message is important enough for you to get out there. And it's interesting, Erin, that you mentioned how it's taken on an almost sacred role for us, but not necessarily for New Zealand.
Yeah.
I've heard some people say that Australia's identity got really challenged by World War One because the way Gallipoli went down and our general treatment by the British you know, military and government who we used to see ourselves as in lockstep with, mm-hmm. meant that, you know, our culture needed a way, needed a day to band around and needed to, like, I guess, process the negativity. I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of people lost faith in their alliance with the UK mm-hmm. during that period. So by really holding close to that day, I think it really helped Australians deal with a pretty rough time.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And what do you guys think about the idea, and I think a few people who agree with Yasmin have kind of talked about the idea of we love, if we think this day is so important, why is it a day where people drink excessively and why mm-hmm. is it a day when people have parties and stuff like that? Do you think that it is right for people to be, quote, celebrating such an important day in our history that caused the lives of hundreds of people?
That's a very good point. I mean, I think the real meaning of the day should be, you know, to remember mm-hmm. fallen soldiers. And, well, for me, a lot of it is the senselessness of that loss. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, a lot of people lost their lives and it didn't necessarily benefit anyone. Yeah. Like, you know, it's interesting. I think some people have commented that the day was about war and making sure it never happened again, mm-hmm. you know, to that extent. But it seems like, well, some people have commented that it seems like no one's taken that on.
Yeah, definitely.
It seems like we're still having wars and, yeah, I don't know. But similar to Australia Day, which is on Invasion Day, I guess, you know, people get blind drunk and they think that that's the Australian thing to do. Something about Anzac Day. People do the same thing.
Yeah, I think it's crazy. Like, you know, people talk about Anzac Day and they're like, it's two-up day and or whatever that.
Right, yeah.
Okay. I clearly sound like a very bad Australian. two-up or something. But yeah, I think because I have seen a lot of people agreeing with Yasmin saying, well, you know, you think this day is so important and you think we should commemorate and remember these soldiers. Well, then why are we drinking heavily and why is this kind of stop being respected, really, in a way? Mm. But yeah, so I guess, no, I don't want to start anything, but wholeheartedly, do you agree that it was right for Yasmin to do, just make that statement, number one? Do you think it should have received the backlash that it did? And do you think that it was the right time to do it? So let's start with Josh.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Respectively, yes, no, but it's not a surprise that it got the backlash that it did. Mm-hmm. Though I would like to note that the people doing that were probably the same people who were talking about, oh, political correctness stops people from saying things. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, it was the right time. I mean, it's the day that you're talking about, so do it then.
Definitely.
So, see, I think that Yasmin, I mean, she's said a lot of inflammatory things in the past, mm-hmm. and I think she's used to getting the backlash
Yes.
now. But I imagine that maybe when she made that post, she was thinking, this is going to be inflammatory, mm-hmm. but it's going to make my point. I'm going to get backlash mm-hmm. like normal, but mm-hmm. I don't know if she imagined how much.
Yeah.
Like, I just think that it has been blown completely out of proportion. Yes. Like, why are we still talking about it? You know, the amount of abuse she has received online, like, no one should receive that mm-hmm. for anything,
Definitely.
Really. Like, she was making a statement about atrocities that are happening in the world. It wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, it was well-meaning in a sense. So I think that, like, it's a tough one. I think if it were me, I'm not an inflammatory person. I wouldn't like to make that statement on Anzac Day. Like, it's just such a sensitive day. So I would say mm-hmm. no, I don't think she should have. But mm-hmm. but I know that in order to make change, like, you've got to, you mm-hmm. know, cause
you got to
this
do something.
Reaction. Yeah. So
well, very interesting, guys. We might go to a track right now to get everyone's Saturdays going. This is Star Jelly by 0.1. You're listening to The Vulture's Nest. We'll be right back.
Countdown is on to Budget Night Tuesday, May 9, when Treasurer Scott Morrison will outline the government's plan for the nation.
2SER will be live in Canberra, ready to tell you how this year's budget will play out.
We'll bring you in-depth coverage and commentary from the nation's capital.
Starting from 7:30 p.m. Tuesday, May 9, on 2SER 107.3.
Welcome back to the Vulture's Nest on 2SER 107.3. I'm with Josh and Aaron in this beautiful nest on this beautiful Saturday morning. We'll look at the next kind of big story coming out over the past few weeks since the release of a new Netflix show called 13 Reasons Why, which is based on a book. And it's a 13-part series, and before we get too much into it, I would like to say that we will be discussing some very serious and adult themes, including sexual assault and bullying and suicide, so please tune out for the next 10 minutes if you feel like this could trigger you. So, to start, 13 Reasons Why. So, for those uninitiated, haven't read the book, haven't seen the series yet, tells the story of Hannah Baker, a student at a high school who is the victim of bullying over some time. She's the new kid, faces some bullying. At the beginning, I think it is very trivial, some of the bullying that she faces, but over time, she witnesses a friend of hers being sexually assaulted. She eventually is sexually assaulted, and the conclusion of the series is of this character committing suicide. And we'll go more into that in depth into that in a minute. And so the show then is framed as Hannah's final testaments, if you will, and the reasons why the things that led her to kill herself is being shared among the people who have affected her. So the reason that this is kind of starting up a conversation is that Headspace, which is a mental health organization and promoting, you know, like mental health safety and such, they have said that the depiction of suicide is damaging, I would say, and that the contents of the show are very triggering to some people. So first off, what do you think about Headspace's reaction to this? Do you think it is justified? Do you think that it's too harsh? What are your feelings?
My first reaction when I saw this response from Headspace was whether they had actually watched the show or whether they just read the description. Because I think when I watched it, I couldn't understand how anyone would watch and think that suicide was a good thing to do. Because they were talking about the glorification of suicide and that it almost seems romanticized, like she's leaving behind these... like there's a closure,
yes.
Like when you commit suicide and you're telling people why you did. But to me, it didn't feel like that at all. It felt senseless. It felt, and to me, the show wasn't completely about suicide. It was more focused on the bullying aspects. And what I think it did a really good job of was showing how small actions can have very big effects, like small comments that you might make to someone while you think like, oh, you know, I'm just trying to seem cool, like I'll just say this, it's not going to affect them that much. It can have a big impact on how they're feeling over time. And yeah, I mean, I certainly reflected on things that I've said in the past and things like that and how it might affect other people from watching the show. And so personally, I think that, yeah, I mean, I can see a little bit where they're coming from. I think the show might be triggering for some people mm-hmm. who have had, I don't know, experienced sexual assault maybe, or been close to committing mm-hmm. suicide. I'm not sure because I haven't, you know, mm-hmm. experienced either. But I think that the show deals with it quite well. Mm-hmm. And really, it's a platform to be able to talk about these mm-hmm. issues. And I think that needs to happen. So, mm-hmm.
what do you think, Josh?
I think it's an entirely valid call to make. Mm-hmm. The research that underpins Australia's guidelines about reporting on self-harm and suicide has found that people who are considering it are often stopped by a few considerations. One is they don't have a plan. Mm-hmm. Two is that they fear undertaking the act. And a big problem with frank depictions of it is that it can both give them an idea mm-hmm. or make them think further about their plans, but also put it into their head that it's doable, which mm-hmm. seems odd, but it's not even necessarily glorification. For people who feel there's a subset of people who attempt suicide who are not exactly seeking attention, but they want to express their pain. Mm-hmm. And if they see media that confirms people will pay a lot of attention to you if you do it, it can encourage those acts. And that's why we have the guidelines mm-hmm. that we do in Australia. So if operating by those guidelines alone, the show is clearly breaching those. Mm-hmm. Obviously, those guidelines aren't enforced and they mainly apply to journalism. But mm-hmm.
of course, yeah. And so we will talk about the suicide now. So in the last episode, Hannah, you actually see the full situation that happened. She gets into a bath. She cleans her room. She goes into the bathtub and she slits her wrists with a single razor. And then she kind of bleeds out and her parents find her. And it's a very traumatic, I think definitely traumatic part of the whole series.
I would say it's probably the hardest scene to watch in the whole
Definitely. And I think your point is definitely valid, and I think the point of Headspace is definitely valid, that they do also say that if you are on the verge of it, something as small as watching it or being informed of it can push you over the edge. Mm. But I also want to question about the point of consequences, like actions and consequences, because I do think that if they did go over that, if they didn't show what happened, or if they didn't mention what happened, would that still have the same effect? Do you think, Erin, imagine if you watched the show and you weren't aware of what happened to Hannah, like how she killed herself, and if you weren't actually shown it, do you think it would have the same emotional impact?
That's a really interesting question. It certainly left me shaken, mm-hmm. I will say that. It's really a horrible, horrible scene. And I think the part that shocked me the most was when her mum found her mm-hmm. and was in denial that she was dead, basically. Mm-hmm. And that, it was really hard to watch. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to comment because mm-hmm. I haven't been in that position, yes. where I've been close to suicide mm-hmm. or anything like that. So I think it could be triggering. I mean, mm-hmm. like, it's really quite intense. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm like looking at that thinking I never would ever, ever want to do that ever. Mm-hmm. But maybe someone else would look at it differently. So
definitely.
I don't know. To me, like, it is a show I will never forget. And mm-hmm. I think part of it is that scene. Mm-hmm. But it could have negative impacts on people for sure.
Taking into mind kind of what we've said about Headspace and that scene in particular, the fact that this show is set in a high school and that a lot of high schoolers are watching it, mm-hmm. do you think that this is a problem?
Well, for me, I think I'd say the first 7 episodes or so, mm-hmm. you know, the messages about bullying are super important. Mm-hmm. I think every teenager needs to mm-hmm. hear those messages and to see the impact that their words have. Like, the whole message of the show is that you need to be kinder to other people, mm-hmm. basically. But I have to say that the sexual, like, mm-hmm. the rape scenes, mm-hmm. there were 2, I believe.
Yes.
Yep. And the suicide scene, mm-hmm. I don't know if I would have wanted mm-hmm. to watch that as a teenager. They were both, mm-hmm. like, horrifying.
I know the sexual assault scenes, the episodes, do have a warning at the beginning. Mm. Do you think that suffices, or do you think more?
No. I think that it actually, well, for me, that actually made me kind of a bit more curious mm-hmm. about it, because they're things that, you know, we don't, we don't see like that imagery or that kind of thing often in the media. I think like we hear about it, we hear like vague, you know, descriptions of what's happened, but like to actually see it on screen, that's something I guess I was sort of curious as to how it happened, why it happened, etc. I was really curious as to the motive behind the rapist, like that was sort of something I was interested in finding out more about. But after watching it, like it's horrifying. I don't think it's enough, like just to have the warning.
A warning, yeah.
Like because you don't know how that will affect you.
Yeah, and I will kind of also, I guess, give kind of an opposite view, or not opposite entirely, but also don't want to go too into the show if you are going to watch it.
Yeah.
But the first sexual assault which happens to Hannah's friend, Jessica. To me, the episode is also framed that you are, because the episode begins, Clay has already heard the tape and he knows what happened, but you don't know what happens. Mm. So to me, the episode is kind of framed like you are, there are subtleties here and there, so that by the time you does get to the end, the visual of it is not as kind of intense, I guess, if you will. Like, like you're kind of prepared for it a bit more, I think. I don't think the warning is enough either.
Yeah.
But there is a warning. The first 20 minutes, he's going around saying, are you okay, Jessica? What happened? And she's saying, it's not what happened. And then eventually it kind of leads towards the point. I think with Hannah's story, it also is a bit, I think that one is a bit, Hannah being the victim of sexual assault is also a bit of a hard one. And I do think that something has to be said about Netflix and how children can watch it, and the way that Netflix protects itself by saying that, well, to get Netflix, you have to have a credit card or a debit card. And most children under 15 don't.
Yep.
So therefore, should these children under 15 really be having access to the show?
Something I am interested in is because as a girl watching those sexual assault scenes, like I've got to say the way it was shot, etc., like it affected me quite quite a lot, because you do really get a sense of like you're completely helpless. Like there was nothing either of those girls could do to stop this from happening. I don't know how a guy would watch that, like what the reaction would be there, like, because for me it just made me so angry. Like I finished watching the episodes and I was like, oh my gosh, I just want to get out there and stop this from happening.
Definitely.
But yeah, I just, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if every teenager would have the same reaction.
So I would say if you are over 15 and if you don't think you'll be triggered by the themes, definitely take a look at it. And I think the show is doing something right in that it is giving us a conversation and a starter point to kind of talk about these issues, because there are a lot in there. There is a lot. There is like cyberbullying. There is rumor making and the fallout of that. And there's the sexual assault, slut shaming. There's even drink driving. And there's a lot of definitely themes in there that are applicable to people's lives. So definitely take a look at it. If you're someone you know is in need of immediate and emergency help, please call 000 as soon as possible. Mental health and addiction support in crisis situations can be sought by contacting Lifeline on 131114. And for more information about depression, anxiety, addiction, treatment, recovery, please contact Beyond Blue online. Thank you for listening and giving us a chance to talk about that. And we might move to something a little weirder for now, before we end our show, which is the birth of a lamb in a plastic bag. That was the way this has been framed quite a lot. So scientists have pretty much created a new animal, scientifically, within a bag that is like a womb, I would guess. What do you guys think about this?
I'm going to be the boring old man of this particular episode. The plastic bag lamb, as terrifying as it looked, had one advantage. A big problem with premature babies, be they animals or humans, is that time in the womb is time spent developing, and even a premature baby well looked after is missing out on that time. So as horrifying as the plastic bag looked, it could be the thing that spells out, you know, kids born at 7 months living or dying. So
definitely,
it's good. I just probably don't want to watch it in action.
Absolutely. Definitely. Like, I agree. Yeah, the opportunity to help premature babies, that's really I guess, exciting. But seeing the image, I was sickened. Like, I felt very sick. But it also sort of made me think about, you know, what could happen next.
Yeah.
You know, like, could we grow a baby from scratch?
Exactly. Yeah.
Inside this artificial womb. Oh,
I guess
gosh,
my next question is a bit philosophical for the vulture's nest, but how does everyone feel about humans playing God and this kind of scientific progression forward that now we can create whole animals out of cells?
Is it necessary? That's my first question, mm-hmm. because, like, with the premature, you know, helping premature mm-hmm. babies, like, that could potentially save someone's life
yes.
or prevent them from developing a disability,
yes.
all of that kind of thing. But growing a baby from scratch inside a womb, I don't know, like, is that beneficial to anyone? Like, I guess in the sense that women won't have to get pregnant, but some people want to do that. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, do we need that in our lives?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's great for science to play God in a sense when it is actually directly beneficial, but
mm-hmm. Definitely.
I feel weird about it.
What do you think, Josh?
Well, as an atheist, there is no God to play. So, but also, strictly speaking, a lot of scientific endeavors like this are needed to make progress,
mm-hmm.
even if you don't see much of a point. The only way they could have found out that it was possible was by trying it.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, there could be a future in which it is necessary. And, you know, infant mortality and maternal mortality are a lot better than they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine there are still some countries where the ability to not have to carry a baby to term would be really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Well, take a look at it online on YouTube. If you have the stomach, don't eat anything prior.
Also, sorry, I just also want to say, try not to think too much about the bag that the lamb's in looking like a slow cooker bag.
Oh, let's leave you with that image.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to The Vulture's Nest. Thank you, Joshua Cole, for coming in. Thank you, Erin Rooney, for coming in. We'll be back next week with our host Sean Morahan. Next is So Hot Right Now. We'll just leave you with a quick promo for 2SER 107.3. Then we have Your Love Keeps Drawing Me Closer by Chandlers. So have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy the sun. And we will see you next week.
To celebrate the success of 2SER's first ever podcast series, Just Words, we've teamed up with Audiocraft to bring you a live listening event on Thursday, May 18. Our podcast series has gone beyond the hype and headlines of Australia's racial discrimination laws, and you can watch the 2SER team record our final episode of Just Words live as we put 18C on trial and determine if our race hate laws really did murder free speech. One last time. Come on down on Thursday, May 18, and listen to a mixture of live and recorded stories as we explore the new frontier of the culture wars. Doors open at 7 p.m. in Redfern at 107 Projects. Be sure to book your ticket now, as spaces are limited. To find out more, head to 2ser.com.
Stole my heart. I never leave you as if I could, cause the pain will part. Your love keeps drawing me closer, keeps drawing me closer, baby. Never before has my life been so much.